Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, "To you, O people, I call out, I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behaviour and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honour, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world, or its fields, or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in the human race. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death.
Thank you, Kate. Kate, very much indeed for that reading. And I hope you got it open on page 641, 642. As we look at this together, let me just read the penultimate verse on page 642. Proverbs 8, verse 35, "For those who find me find life and receive favour from the Lord." Now, I wonder if anyone here has got one of these, an Alexa, a smart speaker. Or a smart speaker device. They're hugely popular and they're really handy. By the way, I'm not working for Amazon at the moment, but I don't even have one. But I've been to some of your houses where you've got one, and they are pretty handy. In fact, if you go to the latest advert on the Amazon website about the latest Alexa, you see a video of a woman who is chatting to Alexa with artificial intelligence enhanced. And she's asking how her team got on in the match yesterday. She's planning ahead to be woken up every morning at a certain time, bring on the lights and open up the blinds at the right time for her to go for a run with her favourite playlist. She is discussing themes for a murder mystery party, and then she asks Alexa to draft up an email, which she then sends to her phone to send out to all her friends. It's a bit scary, but you can see why it's so appealing. Having someone right there with an infinite amount of information who can tell you effortless top tips on how to do your life any time of the day is very appealing, isn't it? I guess that's why they call it a smart speaker. Well, we're 4 weeks into a 10-week series on this book of the Bible, 3,000 years old, and yet we're finding that it's incredibly relevant and up-to-date for modern life. We aren't even into the Proverbs themselves, which come in chapter 10. We're just in the introduction, chapters 1 to 9, which prepare us for wisdom, and they tell us how we need to get it. But what we've been seeing is that there is this thing called wisdom, what might be defined as a skillful ability to do life, a skillful ability to do life, not effortlessly, because there's some other books of the Bible which balance all the positives of this book, Ecclesiastes and Job, and they tell us that life doesn't always go swimmingly. But nevertheless, if you have wisdom, then in the main, you are going to be skillful in navigating all the paths of life. So your child comes back from school, if you have a primary or even secondary age school, with a black eye. It's great to have Bernie's four great-grandchildren here today, and maybe one of them comes back from school with a black eye. Hello, we need wisdom here. How are we going to help coax him or her through what seems to be a difficult situation? You get offered a new job, and it's not right or it's not wrong. It's got lots going for it, but then it's got lots of things that don't seem quite right, and it's going to involve a move away from your family and friends. You need wisdom. You have to decide between which kind of car to get, and there's a kind of trade-off between this one or that one. You need wisdom. The list goes on. A new job, a new relationship, whatever it might be. Every day, life is bowling at us at fast pace, a whole load of decisions and choices that we need to make between wisdom and folly. And we've been thinking about this over these last few weeks. We're going to mainly focus on wisdom, though chapter 9 also speaks of folly. But the really interesting thing about these two chapters is that wisdom and folly are described as a person. They're described as a person. They're likened to a person. Now, just before we launch into three particular things about wisdom, that's not actually that unusual. Has anyone ever said to you, opportunity is knocking at your door? Well, there's no door and there's no actual knocking. It's just a phrase, isn't it? What they've done is they've taken opportunity, which is a thing, and they've turned it into a person. That happens all the time on kids' TV programs. Personified animals or number blocks, a thing that is given a person, a sort of personification. And it's the same with justice. And on the top of the Old Bailey in the centre of London, there's a statue of Lady Justice. Justice is just a thing, but it's been turned into a woman. She has scales to measure up whether someone has been speaking the truth or lies, whether doing right or wrong. And then she has a sword. If you're found wanting, down comes the sword of justice in her hand. So this is just simply something that we do. A thing becomes a person. And wisdom has been portrayed as a person in this chapter and folly as a person in the next chapter. And after all, wisdom is a beautiful thing when you have it. And so maybe Solomon is talking to his son, who's another king, and he's saying, or he's going to be a king, and he says, you need wisdom. And he's a young man, so perhaps a beautiful woman is an attractive thought to him. And also the word in Hebrew, if you into grammar and languages and things, the word is actually feminine. So it's very natural to turn this wisdom into a female person. And so through this passage, wisdom is calling out to us today, calling out to Bernie to be wise, calling out to me to be wise, calling out to each one of us to choose wisdom. And behind this female voice, wisdom, God is speaking to each one of us in this room and saying, choose carefully. So let's see briefly three things quickly from this chapter about wisdom. And in verses 1 to 11, we see that this wisdom person, her help is closely available. Look at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She's set up its seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set... Sorry, I'm in chapter 9. Let's go back to chapter 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading to the city, at the entrance she cries aloud, to you, O people, I call out. Do you see, wisdom, the thing, is being treated like a woman who is calling out to us. And she's not hard to discern amongst all the voices of life. She's in the street. She's at the highest point. She's at the crossroads. She's at the city gate where people used to make their deals. So she's not just in church. She's out there in Tesco's. She's on the factory floor. She's at the school canteen. She's at Sheila's old folks' home giving help to the staff to look after Sheila. She's in Costa Coffee. She's at the petrol station. She's calling out to us all the time. And you don't need an internet connection to be able to listen to her. When you're at the bar, wondering whether to have another drink, she's there with the voice of reason. When someone's offering you a deal, she's there telling you, this is too good to be true. When someone picks a fight, she's there whispering, calm down. When you're on Rightmove or Amazon or Netflix, or when those heart emojis come up on your phone from someone who you're not married to, are you going to listen to wisdom? Or are you going to listen to folly? We won't look much at folly, but just flick over to chapter 9 to see this other woman who is also calling out to you all the time. She begins at the end of the chapter in verse 13. So page 643, Proverbs 9, verse 13. Let me just read this to you. Folly is an unruly woman. She's simple and knows nothing. So she's calling out to you as well. You've got two voices, but she's got bad news, or she'll lead you the wrong way. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city. Wow, she looks pretty similar to wisdom. Calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious, but little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Bernie, in one of our meetings, told me that he went to see the Beatles in 1966 in Melbourne. I went to see the Beatles Experience last night here in Huntingdon. It wasn't quite the same. It was great. But to quote another 60s or 70s rock band, the Eagles... in their song Hotel California, they picture this guy going into a hotel, Hotel California, and he's very attracted to this girl. There she stood in the doorway. I heard the mission bell, and I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven or this could be hell. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the night man. We are programmed to receive. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. Kind of creepy, isn't it? And wisdom's a bit, folly is a bit like that. She also speaks from the rooftops and she said, no, go this way and choose my way. But her fruit is only deceit and destruction and death. But if you turn back to wisdom, verse 4 and 5 of chapter 8, you see how beautiful and good she is. To you, O people, I call out, 8 verse 4. I raise my voice to all humanity. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right, not lies, but truth. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Do you see how great wisdom is? Do you see that she's not far away? She's calling out to us all the time. Her voice is out there. And just in case we think that she's just giving us a few life hacks to get life right and to kind of be able to navigate life well on our own, in our own human wisdom, do you notice that she's related to God? You can see that as we walk through this section. We'll come back to the fear of the Lord, which we'll come to in the next section. But is wisdom simply a secular thing? Is it simply a kind of human voice that's in our inner ear all the time? No, as we turn in the Bible, we see that wisdom comes from God. In James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And then Paul, one of Jesus' close disciples and spokespersons in the New Testament, he says this in 1 Corinthians 1. He speaks of Jesus, and he says, Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So wisdom is a woman in this chapter, but she's also pointing forward to a man who is Jesus Christ. And you can't have this true wisdom without Jesus Christ. And his help is also closely available. He's not just for religious people or good people. No, as Bernie and I have come to discover, he's for bad people who realize that we haven't got things right and that we need forgiveness. Wisdom isn't just a thing, and that's why I think she is personified in this chapter, because she points forward to a person. She points forward to Jesus Christ, and his help is closely available. As Bernie's testified to us today, he's just a prayer away. When you're feeling down, when you're struggling with life, he's there to give you rest. Paul said in his visit to Athens in Acts chapter 17 that God put us in the exact places where we lived so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, even though he's not far from any one of us. We'll think about this a bit more as we go on. But do you see, first of all, that wisdom is a person and her help is closely available. And Jesus Christ is a person whose help is closely available. Let's look at the next section, 12 to 21. And here we see that wisdom's benefits are incredibly valuable. We've already seen some of those benefits in verse 6, speaking the truth. Look at verse 10 and 11. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. She's better than a rollover jackpot. She's better than coming into a massive inheritance. If you get wisdom, you are truly rich. But look at verse 12 and 13, because this is where the Lord's name is brought into it. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. So she's kind of got a sister there as well. The word prudence means being shrewd. See George, who grew up in Glasgow, and they would say canny, I think. If you're canny, if you're kind of worldly wise, you've got very thoughtful prudence and discretion. But it says in verse 13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance. Do you see what I was saying earlier? This isn't just a horizontal thing, knowing how to do life well. It's a vertical thing. It points us up to God. And we've been seeing, haven't we, those who've been here in the last couple of weeks, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's where it all begins. It's not just being wise on how to do life. You've got to have a look upwards to God. If you're a child and your parents tell you to do something, and it's a good thing to do, why do you listen to them? Well, not just because they humanly tell you that, but because God above you loves you and he knows what's best for you and he wants you to do the right thing. That's why parents have to be very wise in helping their kids to do the right thing. But do you see how valuable wisdom is in verse 15 to 17. By me, kings reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern, and nobles, all who rule on earth. So she brings skillful leadership if you're in the classroom or if you're in business or whatever it might be, or just managing a home. But not just does she give you power, she gives you love as well. Look at verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. So if you're a teacher, she not only gives you the ability to control the class, but she gives you the ability to love the class as well. And that's a pretty rare combination. But you get that from wisdom. This isn't just, as I've been saying, it isn't just a secular thing. It's a spiritual thing that comes from the Lord. Jesus himself once told the story of a guy who was brilliant at business. He was a farmer, and he built his barns, and his barns just kept filling with grain because he was so good at his job that he had to tear down his barns and build even bigger barns. He was brilliant at business. But one night, God said to him, "You fool, this very night, your life will be taken from you." It's one thing to be worldly wise, but the reason this is so attractive, this kind of wisdom, is because it connects us with the living God and helps us to do life with him well. Well, next week we're going to be looking at money. Then we're going to be looking after that at friendship. And then we're going to be looking after that at speech. And other preachers will be helping us to look through some of the Proverbs on that. But do you see how valuable wisdom is? Wisdom is a beautiful and precious thing. If you get wisdom, you've got something so special, more important than money. But of course, Jesus is the one ultimately whose benefits are incredibly valuable. If you receive Jesus, you receive forgiveness, a family, a future, and all the blessings that he gives. Sometimes I think people think that if you become a Christian, it's going to make life worse. That if you become a Christian, you have to become boring or disappointing. Well, some people who become Christians were boring already, so when they became Christians, it didn't really help. But actually, when you follow Jesus, he's the pearl of great price. He's the box of treasure hidden in a field. Yes, he does lead us to the path of death. We have to walk with him to the cross, and we have to lay down our reputation and our riches and our comforts and our pleasures. But we discover that as we die with him, as Bernie goes down into the pool, leaving his old life behind, he rises up to new life in the power of the Holy Spirit to help him to live a new life. Jesus is incredibly wise. Just let's take a little pause for a moment. There's a point in the New Testament where Jesus is chatting to the religious leaders. And I don't know if you've ever been into one of these sort of religious debates. Maybe you're not yet a Christian and you're chatting with a Christian and you're kind of debating the meaning of life. And if you're new to Christian things, I'd encourage you over lunch, why not chat with someone? Why do you believe that? Have you been baptized? What about you? What's your story? Well, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. And he's got two kinds of religious leaders coming at him from both sides. He's got the Pharisees, and they ask him a question about taxes, and they try and trip him up, because if he can be seen to be not paying his taxes, then Caesar is going to be onto him. But he answers brilliantly, and he gives an answer that neither gets him in trouble with Caesar nor gets him in trouble with God. So then the Sadducees come from the other side, and they ask him a question about life and death, and he shows them to be totally in the wrong. So then they team up. Now, normally the Pharisees and the Sadducees don't work together, but this time they come as a pincer movement towards him, and they try and trip Jesus up over the law, but he answers perfectly. He has such brilliant wisdom. And they kind of run out of questions, so he then asks them a question. He asks them a question about why they're rejecting him, and they can't answer. Do you see, Jesus is brilliant. Jesus is so wise. Will you listen to him? Will you listen to his wisdom? Well, let's move to our third of three main things about wisdom before we have a question as we finish. Thirdly, wisdom is like a person whose influence is absolutely foundational. Absolutely foundational. Just getting all my pages muddled up here. Here we go. Look at verse 27. So we're in the section from 22 onwards. And here we see wisdom beautifully portrayed in this one of the most beautiful poems in the Old Testament. In verse 27, it says, "I was there when he set the heavens in place." Now, this is quite amazing. The writer, Solomon, maybe one of his sages who helped him write the book of Proverbs, he's saying, look, let me tell you how great wisdom is, how absolutely foundational. Let me, if you like, and this is to borrow an idea from Christopher Ashe, who's a great Bible teacher some of us have heard here. He says, imagine that wisdom has a CV. Those of you who are applying for jobs, look at the CV. First of all, section 1, verses 22 to 26, date of birth. Well, it's difficult to say, really, but I was there before the universe, before God's deeds of old, at the very beginning when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth, when there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. So section 1, date of birth, before the beginning of time. Section 2, verses 27 to 29, any experience of life? Well, I was there when the universe was made and I watched it happen. That's not bad experience. Section 3, skills and work experience. Well, verse 30, I actually helped make the universe. Well, that's quite an impressive person if you're choosing someone for a job. I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence. That's his likes, her likes and interests. She likes the universe and she likes its maker. Do you see, wisdom is appealing for our attention, even before we get onto the Proverbs themselves in chapter 10. And they say, look, do you see how wonderful and how beautiful wisdom is? It's almost as if wisdom is woven into the fabric of creation. She was there right at the start. So she knows how life works. When you follow her, you're cutting with the grain of the universe. She helps you to work hard on your crops. She helps you not to get snarled up in conflict. She helps you to care for your animals. There are even proverbs about that. She helps you to watch your words. It's an amazing description of wisdom personified as this woman who was there right at the beginning of creation. So who is this woman? Is it Jesus Christ? Well, there's a bit of a debate here, and I won't go into all the details, but throughout church history, a lot of people have identified the woman of wisdom exactly with Jesus. And some, you've got to look at the translations of the words here, but some people have done that, and they've said, look, this woman actually is Jesus. I think you can get yourself tied up in knots if you make wisdom Jesus, this woman, wisdom, absolutely. Because it says that wisdom was formed and given birth in the NIV translation. And Jehovah's Witnesses even use this passage of the Bible today to say that Jesus isn't fully God. He was given birth to, not just in his incarnation, but he wasn't there before the beginning of time. Or that he was he isn't fully God because he was formed by God. And there was a time when Jesus didn't exist. That's why I think that both this woman points to Jesus rather than being exactly identified as the same. But you'll need to think about that, and particularly for the life group that is meeting this week. Certainly what's very clear is that this does point to the Lord Jesus Christ. This personified wisdom does point us to the one who was there at the beginning. And Paul says in Colossians 1 that he was there before all things. And John says in John 1 that he was the Logos, the Word, through whom the creation came to be. And in Hebrews it says that the world was created through him. So certainly this passage is pointing to Jesus Christ. And as we know from the New Testament, Jesus is that perfect personal wisdom who gives us the wisdom that we need. Jesus was there with his Father before the creation, making the world. He made us, he made Bernie, he made me, he made all of you. And therefore, Jesus is the one that we must come to. Becoming a Christian is such an obvious thing to do. It brings you back into relationship with your Maker. Well, that just leads us to a final little question at the end. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do with wisdom? Are we going to listen to her? Are we going to listen to Jesus? Or are we going to listen to folly? There's a little epilogue at the end of this chapter that says, verse 32, "Listen, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Don't go out of church today without deciding something. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors." This is a daily thing. Bernie's going to be reading his Bible daily to get Jesus' wisdom. "Watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death." This chapter is pointing us to wisdom. And this chapter is pointing us to Jesus Christ, who is wisdom, as the New Testament puts it. And he is calling, and she is calling to us. And they're saying, are you going to listen or not? Are you going to walk away? Or are you going to follow me? Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never really looked at the Christian faith, and you always thought that it wasn't for you. But maybe you're seeing that the Bible's so interesting and practical. Why not read the rest of the book of Proverbs? And you'll find amazing wisdom. Maybe you didn't realize just how wise Jesus was. Why not read the New Testament? Why not chat with Christians to get to know what they think? Jesus is wise. Jesus is brilliant. Will you listen to him? If you had him, you would be wise. Jesus knows you. He gets you. He even knows where you haven't been wise. And he still loves you. In fact, like baptism, Jesus died to wash away our sins, not washing away on the outside with water, but washing our hearts on the inside so that we can be completely clean before God. Well, come and have a chat with Bernie or myself or anyone else here if that's you and you'd like to know a little bit more. Come back in future weeks. Everyone is welcome. But maybe many of us, like Bernie, have come to put our trust in Jesus Christ. And if you like, we've chosen wisdom. Well, keep choosing wisdom in all those decisions of life. Listen to wisdom. Listen to Jesus. Listen to this book. Study it. Pore over it. Put it into practice. Jesus says you can be a wise man who builds his house on the rock, or you can be a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the difference is someone who listens and puts into practice. I'm sure many of us have heard of Billy Graham. He was a deeply respected Christian leader who spoke to crowds of thousands and with whom presidents and kings and queens got to talk and to ask advice. And he was once asked, what is your favorite book of the Bible? And he talked about the New Testament. He talked in particular about the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, which takes us to the heart of the Christian faith as the father welcomes home a runaway son. He said, what about the Old Testament? He said, well, actually, my wife and I, we read 5 chapters of the Psalms every day. And we read 1 chapter of the Proverbs every day. He got to his 90s and he had been reading this book for decades. Maybe that's why rulers, kings and queens came to ask him for advice. Let's have a moment of quiet and just pray quietly on our own as we respond to wisdom's call. And then Katie is going to lead us in a prayer where we say sorry for not always loving God as we should, and then some other prayers before our final song.
So as Charlie said, it's that time in our service when we say a confession together. It's a chance for us to acknowledge our state in front of God and to think about the things in our hearts that we need washing clean from. Before we say the words on the screen, if we could just have those up. Thanks, Andrew. Before we say them together, let's just have another moment just to think about those things that we want our hearts to be washed clean from.